Father, we come before you and we ask that you'd bless this message, Lord, tonight as we've gathered around your family, around worship and around your word. And Lord, as we go through this series, as we take a break from our verse by verse teaching, and as we look at this series, we pray that it would be where we're at in our daily living. And Father, as we now come through these weeks to this topic tonight, I pray for help, O Lord God, in this area. Father, I pray that you'd give me ability to communicate. For Father, without your Spirit's touch, this is a waste of time. We ask in Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
amen.
Why that prayer? Because as I mentioned last week, we looked at being a Christian while being a man. Well, tonight we're looking at being a Christian while being a woman, and I am not a woman, so I have very limited knowledge on this other than what is revealed in the Word. So I'm going to stick to the Bible tonight, and that's a good place to be. Amen. So grab your Bibles tonight and turn to our theme passage of Scripture as we go through this little mini-series together, and that is the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, and in verses 9 to 14, we're hearing it every Wednesday night now, and we can't hear it enough because it is an awesome portion of Scripture that puts, as it were, bookends on the life of the believer. And what does it mean to be a Christian and a woman? And what does that Christian woman look like in the world around us? Colossians 1 verse 9. Paul said, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard of it," that is their great faith in Christ, "do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy." Boy, Paul knew how to pray, didn't he? "Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." I love that. "He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." On the surface, the Christian woman in our age looks like any other woman. Just like we talked about last week, what does a Christian man look like? Well, he looks like just like any other man. Well, a Christian woman, what does she look like? And we've got some more photos to show you, as we did last time. These are Christian women. And some of them will kind of pause and point out, but don't they look just like you? Don't they do exactly what you do? What is a Christian woman doing in this world? And how can you tell? What's the difference? On the surface, naturally, and we should, they should, you should, if you're female, right? Look just like the world in that sense. It's not until what comes out of them is what makes a difference. That is an all-powerful thing. Now, as we look at these photos, everyone can relate to these. This is what a woman does in life, and this is what... Now, pause right here. This is awesome because you see those chunks of gold around Leah's neck? I got a chance to wear those. And boy, in this economy, I wish I had those. But Leah goes to this church. She's a three-time gold medalist in the Olympics. And this is a Christian woman who not only stood for Jesus throughout all that time, she's standing for Jesus now, and stood in the Oval Office of the White House, and she loves the Lord. And you'll see her on campus here on Sundays and sometimes Wednesdays. But this is what a Christian woman looks like. The next one, next slide. You guys all know her. Everybody loves Raymond. Patricia Heaton, president of the Hollywood Women's Christian Club, loves the Lord. We almost had Patricia Heaton speak here during the Proposition 8 series and campaigns that we were involved in. Loves the Lord. Christian woman. What's the next one here? Beverly LaHaye, Concerned Women for America. You saw her husband here in this pulpit last Sunday, Dr. Tim LaHaye. This is what a woman, Christian woman, looks like. What's the next one if we have another one? Bethany Hamilton. Remember Bethany? In fact, the Baumgartners are connected with her. I forget. One of the Baumgartner's daughters are dating Bethany's brother. In Hawaii, Bethany was bitten by a shark while she was surfing. And now her what's left of her arm. Did it stop her from surfing? No, the Lord drove her to keep going and pressing on. And now Bethany Hamilton is, my goodness, speaks all over the place and has authored and is quite a girl, committed to Christ, loves the Lord Jesus. Is there any more? I don't remember. That's it. This is what Christian women look like. They look just like us. Normal. Until what's inside of them comes out. And that's what we're going to be looking at this evening. So point number one, jot it down, everybody. And that means you too, guys. You might run into a Christian woman someday. And how are you going to know? Well, listen, being a Christian woman, while in this world, the first thing we want to look at is that a woman holds a unique order in creation. Now, first of all, listen to how I'm putting this. A woman holds a unique order in creation. And obviously that involves a Christian woman. But for all of you who are here tonight who are females, listen up. In creation, the Lord engineered woman last, or it was his finale. You say, what do you mean last? There was only Adam and Eve. Yes, but listen. There is a reason why Eve came second. God in his infinite wisdom that we don't have all the time to get into now, but there's a very specific purpose, and it's not a lesser purpose. It is not a demeaning purpose. It is not a sub-purpose as to why Eve was made after Adam, why Eve was created after Adam. The woman holds a special, unique place in the creation of God. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Listen carefully. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. That is our moral likeness. By the way, he didn't do that regarding angels. They don't have that likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. That's an awesome statement. God says, I've made Adam, I've made Eve, I've made them both, and they are to run the globe. They're to be in charge as stewards over God's creation. And there's a direct reference, obviously, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Now listen, concerning us guys. Now I don't know about you, but I actually take the Bible very literally, and I like this verse I'm about to read. How many guys do we have in here tonight? Raise your hands. Guys, hands up. Okay, check it out. Do you know why we like to play in the dirt still? Roll in the mud, get stinky. We love it, don't we? What is that? We love it. Here it is, Genesis 2, 7. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground. I think that has a very important thing to it there. I think there's a connection. And breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. But then you get to Genesis 2:18, and you start reading there, and it says, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. God made Adam to be alone in the beginning, because what the finale was to bring was Adam's totality. I will make him a helper comparable to him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, anesthesia administered to by God. And he slept, and he took one of his ribs, closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman. That is awesome. Man's made out of dirt, but a woman is made out of man. What an awesome DNA genetic engineering creation a woman is. Men are dirt balls, dirt clods. Women are specifically engineered genetic achievements of God. And he brought her to the man, that is Adam, and Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. That is an amazing thing. A woman can turn to Adam and declare, I have come out from you. Adam turns and looks at the dirt and says, that's where I've come from. I'm not putting down guys, but I am exalting women. God does that in the very creative succession of what he's doing. Women are to be held in high order based upon God's creative order. You say, yeah, but she was made second. Yeah, but you know what? She was brought out of man, whereas man was brought out of dirt by God's design. Listen carefully. I don't want to be misunderstood on this. By God's design, you and I were made, I say you and I through Adam and Eve in the garden, made physically and emotionally and spiritually complete. When God made Adam and Eve, that woman, Eve, was absolutely perfect. Now, today I went online and I looked at some paintings of Rembrandt, and it's hilarious because he's got some pictures of Eve, paintings of Eve. And she was really chubby. Really, really, really chubby. I don't know if she looked like that or not. And I'm sure Rembrandt had no idea what she looked like. But do you realize that Adam and Eve were made absolutely perfect in the garden? Completely perfect. I don't know what that looks like. I don't know exactly what that image is in the garden. But God said it's perfect, physically perfect, emotionally perfect, spiritually perfect. They were complete. But by man's fall in the garden, mankind destroyed himself. And one single moment, by putting an apple, well, we don't know if it was an apple. Could have been a Dell or an IBM, but that's a joke. We don't know if it was an apple. We have no idea if it was an apple. It was some fruit of some sorts. And it wasn't that the fruit was poison and then, you know, she bit it and then it made her sick. No. It was the rebellion, the disobedience within the person. Even Adam and Eve, created in perfection, is God's engineered ability for them to exercise choice. And Eve chose to disobey God. And the Bible says in the book of Genesis 2:17, that the moment you eat of the fruit, if you were to ever eat of the fruit, you would surely die in that day. Now, did Adam and Eve drop dead the moment they ate the fruit? No. They lived for 900 some odd years. Well, there's a problem. The Bible says in the day they eat of it, they will die. That's right. The day that they ate of it, they died. How did they die? Spiritual death. And you and I do not know what it's like to have lost what they lost. See, you and I, as Christians, are only on this side of what we've gained, right? You and I were born into this world lost. We were alienated from God. We didn't know the Lord. And God was not a part of our lives. We come to Christ. Adam and Eve knew the Lord face to face and lost it. I can't even imagine. Neither can you. In one moment, Adam and Eve spiritually died. You see, Jack, are you going to encourage us ladies or what? I am right now. In the midst of all of that, isn't it awesome that God says in his word that he was going to bring the Messiah of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ, promised even back in Genesis chapter 3, that the Messiah would come not through Adam, but through who? Eve, the woman. God holds the woman in high regard in his order of creation. And a Christian woman needs to read her Bible to see that through a woman, the Messiah would come. That is an honoring role. That is a great thing. And the Christian woman, women period, but the Christian woman is unlike any other human on earth. I think, in fact, you know what? Can I be so bold as to say this? Have you ever seen a Christian woman pregnant? You say, what do you mean? A woman is an amazing creative work of God's handiwork. Anyhow, a Christian woman is something, and a woman, Christian, pregnant, glows. They just glow like a light bulb. There seems to be a presence about them. What is that all about? I think it's just God's blessing upon his call of creation. Very, very important. Number two, jot it down. A woman holds a unique character value. As we look throughout this series about being in a home and about being at a job, about being as a family, about being as a man, about being as a woman. Next week, husbands and wives. And on we go. A woman holds a unique character value. And when I say character value, I mean that a woman has a keen ability given by God to feel or to experience the Lord. There is something that God has put within a woman that is unique, altogether unique regarding this. Character value. Luke chapter 1, verse 46. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior." That's a little snippet of the Magnificat of Mary, when she sang her song to the Lord. But there is something interesting about how a Christian woman has this ability to relate to her Heavenly Father. On behalf of all of us men, I want you all, you ladies, to know that we are jealous of your relationship that you have with the Lord. Now, we've got a relationship with the Lord as well. But there's something unique about a woman's relationship with God. There seems to be a special tenderness. There seems to be a special way that she views God the Father. Maybe she didn't have a father that was loving or kind or gentle, and now the Heavenly Father steps into her life and it's altogether wonderful for her. I don't know. But there seems to be an ability for a woman to relate to God regarding her very character that is of high value to God. And often I've seen that women are often pillars in the church because of their close-knit relationship with the Lord. What is a Christian woman like? She loves the Lord. What Jesus says, what the Word of God says, what the Spirit of God is saying and doing in her life, she loves the Lord. A Christian woman wants to know more about God. And there's a stability, there's a peace, and there's a depth of character that a Christian woman exhibits. There's I don't know what you call it. I'll put it this way. When Lisa and I met, now you'd have to ask her when that was. I don't remember that. I don't remember the day or the year, but I remember the moment, though. I had a really tough job. I was playing volleyball at Newport Beach at PCH and Orange Street, if you know where that's at. And getting paid really well to do that. And a friend of mine said, "Hey, Jack, there's a Christian girl over there." And I thought in my head, there are no Christian girls. I've met some Christian girls. They didn't turn out to be Christian girls. There are no Christian girls. And I have to tell you that when I met my wife-to-be, which of course I didn't know was my wife, I didn't hear the clouds didn't part, and this was the one. But there was a wholeness, a cleanliness, that's not the right word, a purity. There was a sparkle about her and a simplicity that was absolutely radiant. Here's the cool thing. It affected how I related to her, because there was a genuineness about her. And in your life, listen, this world needs Christian women who love Jesus the most. Because let me tell you something. A woman who loves the Lord is absolutely beautiful. This world thinks it's got a corner market on what is beautiful. By the way, Hollywood seems to be just producing now what looks like genetic misfits. Have you seen what's going on? They took normally, they were fairly attractive people. But somebody, somehow, or maybe they just got something in their own head that they need to fix themselves in all kinds of ways. And now they come out of the doctor's office looking like some sort of Mattel, I don't know what. And that's tragic. What kind of a view of a heart is so diminished to the point where I got to become somebody else? The Christian woman just glows with God. And it's beautiful. And the world sees that innocence and that purity. And by the way, it doesn't seem to change with age. No matter how young or how old that Christian woman is, there's a beauty about them. Ordained by God. Ladies, remember that. There's a unique character value that God has placed in you. Number three, a woman holds a unique influence over others. And all the ladies said, All four of you. That's right. Women have the unique, I believe, God-given influence over other people. See, what do you mean by that? Well, a Christian woman has an influence because when she really knows the Lord, and you young ladies tonight, listen carefully, when you really commit your life to the Lord, there's something that happens. There's a confidence that a man will not take advantage of. When a woman is confident and she knows who she is in Christ, that's a beautiful place to be, gals. Listen carefully. That confidence in Christ, that ability for you to see yourself as a daughter of the living God, highly esteemed by the Lord. You know what? It wards off weirdos. It is a weirdo ward offer. Being confident in the Lord. So many women are taken advantage of who have a very, very, submissive and terrified and insecure look about them. For whatever reasons, we're not here to discuss those tonight. But they just tiptoe around this world and they don't know who they are in Christ. If that's you tonight, you need Jesus. Oh my goodness, He'll change your life. He will put His stamp, His seal of approval on you, that He loves you, as the Scripture says, with an everlasting love and with loving kindness, He has drawn you into His life. Oh, He loves you. The greatest thing that can happen in my marriage is for my wife to love God more than me or anything else. I don't want her to love me the most. You don't. Nope. I want Lisa to love God the most. If she loves God the most, then it's going to be cool for me. And you say, ladies, well, I don't know why I should love God the most if it's going to be cool for Him, because I don't know if I even like Him anymore. I don't even know if we should have even gotten married. Listen, God will always bless obedience. Period. You obey the Lord, He'll bless you. Is that how I get to heaven? By obeying the Lord? Well, not exactly. I mean, yes and no. You obey Him by accepting Him as Lord and Savior. That's obedience, isn't it? I mean, come on, that's obedience. But you don't get to heaven by keeping the Ten Commandments. I wish we could. We want to, but we fail. But when it comes to a relationship, and even if you're not willing, for those of you who are married, and you're in a relationship that you don't even like, but you're married, you can ask God to begin to change your very heart. Because when it's right, ladies, between you and the Lord, God will go before you and make things right. Just be patient in Him. He's awesome about that. But He's given you a unique influence. Listen to this. This is a huge chunk of Scripture, but it's a blast. And I like to put it this way, that a Christian woman is the Lord's addition to life. This is the Greek Amplified Version of Proverbs 31. Listen carefully. A capable, intelligent, and virtuous woman, who is he who can find her? She is far more precious than jewels, and her value is far more above rubies and pearls. She seeks out wool and flax and works willingly with her hands to develop it. She is like the merchant ships loaded with foodstuffs. She brings her household's food from a far country. She rises while it is yet night, gets the Hebrew means her spiritual food. She gets her spiritual food early in the morning for her household and assigns her maiden's tasks. She considers a new field before she buys it or accepts it. And with her savings, both of time and strength, she plants fruitful vines in her vineyard. She girds herself with strength, spiritual, mental, and physical fitness for her God-given task that's before her, and makes her arms strong and firm. She tastes and sees that her grain from her work is good. Her lamp does not go out, but it burns on continually through the night. She opens her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out and fills the hands of the needy, whether in body, mind, or spirit. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and her position is strong and secure. She rejoices over the future, the latter day or time to come, knowing that she has prepared her family well and they are ready. Proverbs 31:26. She opens her mouth in skillful, godly wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness, giving counsel and instruction. Verse 29, many daughters have done virtuously, nobly, and well with the strength of character that is steadfast in goodness. But you excel them all. Charm and grace are deceptive, and beauty is vain, because it is not long-lasting. But a woman who is reverent and worshipful fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates of the city. What an industrious woman. Independent, would you say so? Huh? Strong? Every man should look at a woman like that and say, wow! Think about it. All of you ladies that are in here tonight, you need to be, this is what God's word is to you. You look around the world and women are being put down. Women are being prostituted. They look like a bunch of bimbos on TV. Bunch of predators, Sex in the City maniacs, desperate housewives. And then there's the real desperate housewives. And then there's the real desperate housewives of Orange County and of Atlanta and probably of every other town in America. Who cares? I've never seen the shows. I've seen the commercials. And that's enough air in one head for me. Have you seen the commercials?
I don't know.
Oh, my goodness. That's the world. And ladies, I don't know if you think that's cool or not, but that's the world making women look like a bunch of dopes. The Bible says, nope, a woman and a woman of God is a woman who's industrious. She's secure. She's strong. You know what? She's going places. And if a man is intimidated by that, that man needs to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, it's amazing. She has a great influence. Number four, a woman holds a unique spiritual insight that no man can have. In 1 Samuel 25:3, the Bible says Nabal, this poor guy, Nabal had a wife. At least he had a great wife. He was a nincompoop, but he married I don't know how he got her, but Abigail was something. The Bible says she was a woman of great understanding. And you know that. You can read about her. She's an amazing woman. Remember David's going to go kill Nabal for being a dope? I mean, he's just a dopey guy doing stuff that's ungodly and mistreating David's troops. And David's going to go, he's going to go kill the guy. And Abigail intercedes and says, you know what? My read. This is my take. Listen, my husband, he's kind of goofy. Don't bloody your hands with killing this guy. You're King David, and he's my poor husband. Why would you have blood on your hands over this? And David said, you know what? You're more godly than I am. Abigail was a woman of great understanding. By the way, David, after Nabal was killed, was dead, David thought the world of Abigail. Women, Christian women, have amazing spiritual insights. You know, growing up, you used to think that your mom had eyes in the back of her head. Remember that? She still does. This young lady said, my mom still does. Christian women have eyes all around their head. Amazing insights to the word. They have what the world would say, a woman. God created a woman, just even if you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, but you're a woman. God has instilled within you strange, amazing, intuitive things. Powerful things. But not only that, discernment. A Christian woman has been given insight that is rarely seen among Christian men. We know this in the Bible. You read the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation, and you see couples in the Bible. And it's an amazing complementary union. Priscilla and Aquila in the New Testament, husband and wife team. Abraham and Sarah. Rebecca and Isaac. On and on it goes. God has blessed the woman with very special and specific insights spiritually. And I'll say more on this in a moment, but I'll just mention it here right now. I believe because God has engineered the woman in such a way, and the Christian woman today is under such attack, I think that you can clearly conclude, and I think all of you would, I would think it's safe to say, that Satan hates women. He hates them. And you need to remember that when this world comes knocking on your door. A woman has tremendous insight. I know that the Bible says that in a New Testament setting that a woman is not to lord over or pastor over a flock. The Bible makes that very, very clear. But it doesn't say that a woman's not to minister. For those of you who have been around here for a while, I remember when Elizabeth Elliot spoke at this church. And the first thing she said, she walked up, she goes, "Before anybody gets any strange ideas, I am not a pastor and I am not lording over your life, but I am going to talk to you about how to pick a mate and how to be engaged." Remember that? It was amazing. And that woman spoke for 45 minutes. She sat down, got a drink of water, got up. We didn't even know she was going to do this. She got up and talked for another 45 minutes. And when she got done, nobody wanted her to stop. Incredible insight. Incredible. God has made a woman to have a very special, I think, presence in the Lord. And I don't know that women, I'm not saying that women, you know, Pastor Jack, you know, you're saying that women have a special, us guys are in the back of the line. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that women have the ability, as we talked about last week, how we don't have the ability. Women have the ability to listen to the Lord. They can sit still longer with their cup of tea than we can. And don't you see the brilliance of God of bringing a male and a female together, a husband and wife together? Isn't it amazing? You know, I don't know if this is true or not. Seems true to me, but have you ever heard that opposites attract? Is that true or what? I mean, it seems to be kind of true. My wife's like this. She's the same woman she was when I met her at 18. She was 18 years old. She's like this. Me? I look like the Richter scale. I'm like this all day long. All right. Oh, man. Oh, look at that. Oh, no. You guys are really blessed because you don't know me. Oh, my. And then God brings two people like that together. Lisa likes to sleep. I think sleeping's a waste of time. Funny how that happens, huh? One person talks a lot. That's Lisa. She talks a lot. No, I'm kidding. And the other one doesn't. And a day off. What do you want to do today? Let's take a drive. Okay. And it's so funny because it's just 30 years of marriage. It's the same thing. Let's take a drive. Okay. Where do you want to go? And out of our mouth, she'll say Santa Barbara and I say San Diego at the exact same time. Absolutely. 180 degrees opposite directions. Why does God do that to us? So that we will dialogue, talk, debate, compromise, and do what she wants. Being a Christian while being a woman, and what does a Christian woman look like? Number five, a woman holds a unique emotional expression in her life. Throughout the book of Acts, you read about and read of women coming to faith in Jesus Christ. And I love that. Lot, you don't realize that. I looked that up. I studied that. Look that up. It's amazing. How many women are mentioned in the book of Acts? Not even mentioned in the Gospels, but just the book of Acts of women coming to faith in Christ. Women. I love that. And their unique emotional expression. And I'm not talking about emotions in the sense of dangerous emotions. I'm not talking about that. Emotions in all of our lives, male or female alike, they can be absolutely dangerous if they're governing our lives. But remember this, God did not make women or any of us robots. Emotions are part of His creative acts that He's engineered within us. They're to be managed. And God created the woman to have an exceptional, unique emotional expression in her life. Galatians 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Now listen, everybody, especially you guys, listen. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. Do you know what's sad? Ladies, listen. When us men, when us guys read that verse, all of those words sound to us, guys, come on, be honest, they sound feminine to us. As a man, when we read the Bible, the fruit of the Spirit, fruit, why can't it be the hummus of the Spirit or the ice cream of the Spirit? No, it's His fruit, What's produced? What comes out? We have to think. It's hard for us, guys. You ladies see the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Love. A woman knows this. A man has got to learn love. How to express love. The little girl writes him a little love note. What does he do? He picks up a tin can and throws it at her or pulls on her pigtails on the way home from school. Back when I was a kid, we had to, can you believe this? We had to walk home from school. And if you liked the girl, you know what you'd do? You'd spit on her. Right? If you liked her, you'd kick her. If you liked her, you'd get her to cry. What is that? What is with that? We don't understand. We have to learn this. Women, God engineered women in a very specific way. There's certain things that God has given them in their expressive nature. And when they read this, when a woman reads, the Spirit is love, the fruit of the Spirit is joy and peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness. These are tough words for us, guys. This is hard for us. We have to do them. But God, I believe, has blessed the woman with a unique emotional expression in her Christian walk. She understands it. My God loves me, and that brings me joy. By the way, did you know that many, many theologians believe this, that in Galatians 5:22, that the fruit of the Spirit is love, and that's it? Because out of love comes joy, kindness, gentleness, self-control. You can't have joy and not love somebody. Right? Interesting, huh? Women at worship, it's an amazing thing. There's something absolutely, purely holy about it. In prayer, women at prayer, women in song and serving and or giving or in action. And Acts 16:13, the Bible says, and on the Sabbath day, they went out of the city and they went down to the riverside where prayer was customarily made. And we sat down, Paul and the apostles, Luke is speaking, and we sat down and spoke to the women who met there for prayer. Did you know across America, more women gather in prayer meetings than men? Why? Did you know that when you have women sign up or when you have something going on, women sign up more than men? Why? What does it happen? A unique emotional expression. Lord, this is my life. Number six, a woman holds a unique creative gift engineered by God. Well, we heard a great message about the creativeness of the human spirit by Congressman Bob McEwen on Sunday night. God made us with the ability to be creative. Some are more, some are less. I understand that. The Bible says in Acts 16:14, now a certain woman named Lydia heard us, and she was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, a businesswoman who worshiped God. And the Lord opened her heart to heed these things spoken of by the Apostle Paul. And when she and her household were baptized, listen, she begged us, saying, if you have judged me to be fruitful to the Lord, or faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. And so she persuaded us to stay. What a beautiful thing. This woman comes to know Christ, and she's a business owner. She's got her tapestry, textile industry that she's an owner of, and she hears the gospel, and she says, you guys are coming to my house. And in my mind, I'm thinking, you know, if she was into fabric and dyeing stuff and coloring stuff and sales, I wonder what her house looked like. Now, I don't know about you, but you know, there's certain homes that you walk into and they're so incredibly perfect that you don't even want to sit down. It's like a model house. Although you do want to kind of abuse a model home, don't you? Don't you want to go into a model house and jump on the bed? Just to kind of like bring some life into it. Everything's just perfect. And you don't want, you walk in, you know, you just want. And somebody says, won't you come in? Yeah. And you go past the vase and. And then there's homes that are just lived in, you know. Then there's homes that are lived in and they look really cool. I don't know how that's done, but that's amazing. But a woman can look at something and there's a creative heart about her. They see things. Listen, ladies, God has engineered you very, very specifically for very, very awesome reasons. And my heart breaks. I know my wife's heart breaks. The women's ministry leaders, their hearts break over women who have just been beat down either by a bad upbringing or by a husband or by a boyfriend or a relationship. And the woman is just a wilted flower. And I want you to know tonight, if you're saying, Pastor Jack, inside, that's who I am. I want you to know that is not God's will. And he wants you completely re-energized. And he wants you watered with the word that you might grow strong. Now, maybe you've come out of some cult or some woman abusing religion or something. You need to know that that is not the will of God. If women in some cult or religion that you are in or some second-rate people, that's not what the Bible teaches. If you've been brought up into some belief that you somehow have no say, you have no input, that you are some subservient and some sort of thing like property, that is anti-God. And I see far too many young people settling for that. Number seven, a woman holds a unique depth of passion. I don't need to explain that. I think about Mary, as I read a moment ago in Luke. Elizabeth, the Samaritan woman. She's fun. You ever read about her? You've read about her, right? In John's Gospel, chapter 4. The Samaritan woman. She's a feisty thing. She's there getting water in the middle of the day. I think you've already heard the story when we're in the Gospel of John. She wasn't supposed to be there while the other women went. So she had to go in the middle of the day because she was a very loose girl. And she was not to associate with the other women. So she goes in the middle of the day. Jesus is at the well. Jesus sees her. Now, a monk would have ran for the hills because he got near a loose girl. What does Jesus do? He says, hey, woman, can I have some water? He's got a whole plan. Hey, girl, can I have some water? Why do you ask me for some water when I'm a Samaritan and you're a Jew? She starts flirting with him. She doesn't know who he is. No, I'm serious. She doesn't know who he is. Why do you ask me for some water? You're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan. And he begins to answer her heart. And then he says, you know, I have water to give that if you drink of it, you'll never be thirsty again. And she goes, well, then give me some of that water. And he said, I tell you what, why don't you go get your husband and bring him here? And she said, well, I don't have a husband. And he goes, that's right. You've had, what is it, 4 or 5 husbands? And the man, how many? 5. And he says, and the man you're living with now is not your husband. And she says, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet of God." Isn't that amazing? And what happens? She winds up coming to know the Lord. Any culture without God, she would have been beaten with a stick or beheaded or whipped. What does the God of the universe do? Issues her forgiveness and gives her a brand new life. A woman caught in the act of adultery. What does Jesus do? And by the way, it was amazing. He who is without sin, let him cast the first stone. Whoever wants to stone her, if you're sinless, go ahead, let it rip. Come on. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Whatever those guys' names were. Hey, Bill. Yeah, you Pharisees. Fred. Here's some big rocks here. Pick them up. Come on. I haven't seen a good stone in a whole week. Let it go. There she is. There you are. He who is without sin, throw the first stone. Can you imagine that? Now, who could have thrown in that entire group the first stone? Only Jesus. He didn't apparently even pick one up. Rather, who did he pick up but the woman? He said, "Woman, where are your accusers?" She looked around, because they all took off. She says, "Well, I don't think I have any accusers." And he said, the God of the universe, standing in front of her in human skin, he says, "Neither do I condemn you. Go." And what he said was, "Sin no more," meaning forsake that lifestyle you're in, girl. Go and live for God now. Do you know him like this? Have you come in here tonight and you've got all your past, young lady, middle-aged lady, older lady, you got all your past weighing you down. There's just hurdles you can't get over, no matter what they might be. Sinful conduct, maybe it's regret and remorse, I don't know. He wants to make you brand new. And that creates a depth of passion in your heart that no man can take away. The Bible says in Galatians 3:27, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Isn't that cool? Think of that. "There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one, equal, the same." Hello, everyone. Equal, the same, in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Ladies, did you hear that? This is the Bible, not our culture speaking to you. I believe that the Bible teaches that women hold a unique place in the heart and mind of God. It's very powerful. Number 8, a woman holds a unique reconcilable attribute. What do I mean by that? Reconcilable attribute. From the earliest ages of a young little kiddo, girl, a female seems to have it imprinted upon their heart and their eyes and their minds and how they perceive things. In the sense of this, that they want a peace. Now, some of you, I don't know all of you in this room tonight. Some of you may, you just came from college today and you were taught some stuff in your little psychology class. And now the big debate is, are men and women different at all? Are they even different at all? First of all, the question should be, who asked that question? We need to study that brain, put it in a pickle jar and check it out and see how it works. Are men and women different? Men, I don't know how different a man and woman, a male and female could be. Absolutely different. They're the same value before God, but absolutely different in this sense, from the earliest moments. And of course, this is what you and I as mere humans can understand, right? But those of you, I love how many experts we have, by the way, regarding child rearing who have never had a kid. I mean, it's just hilarious. Well, you don't think that should be done with children. Well, before you tell me that, how many kids do you have? Well, I mean, I've read about kids. Get out of here. Oh, man. They're different. And I mean, before they come out, they're different. You can watch now through technology. You've got two twins in the womb, two guys in the womb, and they're kicking each other. And then you've got two little girls in the womb, and they're all... It's absolutely... You can observe it. And then they come out, and they're different. It's supposed to be that way. And God celebrates that differentness that He's engineered. By the way, if you have a young kid, do you have young boys? You have young boys? You have little kids, boys? Will you let them get dirty? Listen, single moms, this is a very sad thing. Single moms who've been abandoned by the father, by the husband, and the little boy doesn't have much daddy time. Listen, mom, take it. Listen, I'm telling you right now. You got to let that little guy get absolutely messed up. Go dig a hole in the backyard, put some water in it, and throw his lunch in there. I am dead serious. He has got to get dirty. And to some degree, you know what? A little girl ought to get dirty too. And then it's okay. It's okay to expose that little guy to nicer things. That's fine. But when you, listen, a human being is amazing. They are, by DNA, programmed a certain way. We are made a certain way, okay? And then, when we come out, by the way, Adolf Hitler knew this and tried to override one over the other, and that was, you can control a person completely by purging the race of humanity and creating a perfect Aryan people. It's all DNA. It's all DNA, Hitler believed. Just get all of the non-white races off the planet, and Hitler thought he could create a utopia on Earth. Okay? Hitler was right and wrong at the same time. And then you have a lunatic come on the scene like Stalin, who said, we don't care about their DNA. Control their environment. Communize everything. Socialize it. Everyone's the same. That same is, they're all down there in the scum somewhere. They're all nothing. There is no God. They're just a bunch of numbers. And when you control them that way, you got them. Listen, in true humanity, there's a DNA print upon us, and then there's learned response behavior that you and I gather from our environment. And our environment puts stamps as we are growing up. And listen, the Bible says to know your kid and to nurture them in the way that they should go. You have a boy. Boys naturally, by the way, this is true. Are you guys awake? This is true. When there's an explosion, when a balloon blows up, when there's fire, when there's a crash, when there's catastrophe, guess what happens? From the earliest ages, the little girl will grab her dolly, embrace it, and turn away from the crash. And she starts talking to her dolly, and she starts telling her dolly it's going to be okay. Do you know who put that in there? God put that in there. Unless you go to some college and they'll tell you no. God put that in there. And the same age little boy, 4 years old, what does he do? And he runs to it. It's true. It's true. And then you have little girls putting on mommy's high heels and mommy's dress and walking around the house acting like a grown-up. What do guys do? They dress up like army guys or like contractors, or they start building stuff or cutting trees down or painting the windows on your house black. That's what guys do. There's a difference. Big deal. That's a big deal. I could spend all day on this. It wasn't even in my notes. I'm running out of time. I got to hurry. Unique. Listen, a woman has the desire and the ability to be a peacemaker. Much more than a guy does. A woman desires... to be a peacemaker. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5, 16 to 21, that God has put it in the life of the believer to make reconciliation with other people. Did you know that? All of us, male, female alike. Are you a Christian? God has put a desire in your heart to reconcile with other people. No one does that better than females. Guys are funny. If we're upset with somebody, hey, what was that? I'm sorry, did I upset you? Yeah, you did. Okay, I'm sorry. All right, let's go get something to eat. It's over. And we're not even sure what we were just talking about. Doesn't matter. Women, did you get, and let me write you a note, and then I wrote you a note, and here's my second note to the first one, and then their whole makeup process is sure, it's firm, it's confirmed, it's amazing. God has engineered women, and we need, listen, we need godly women in this world. We need women who know who they are in Christ. Number 9, a woman holds a unique ingenuity to serve. I don't need to belabor this. Women are amazing at serving the Lord by serving other people. We saw it all weekend long at the conference. Women love to serve. They just jump right at it. You know what? I see a lot of things. Those who work for me here at the church, my family, I see everything. And I don't often mention things, but if there's a light bulb burned out, I can see it a mile away. It's a terrible disease I have. If there's a frame crooked on the wall, I can spot it 100 feet away. Drives me nuts. I was at my doctor's office recently, and I was fixing his frames in the waiting room. I guess that's the female side of me or something. I don't know. You'll see stuff, and so amazing, women in the heart of servanthood, getting things done, taking care of things, straightening things out. I think it's awesome. I think God's in all that. The Bible tells us, by the way, that there was a woman servant by the name of Deborah in Judges chapter 4. She's cool. She's a judge in Israel, Deborah. She's a gnarly, gnarly girl. In Barak, he's all upset. He's going, you know, the enemy's going to kill us. And she goes, well, why don't you go do something about it? She goes, why don't you man up and go beat the enemy up? Well, I don't think they're bigger than us and all this stuff. And she goes, what do you want me to do about it? You want me to go to battle with you? Would you? And she said, okay, Barak, check it out. If we go to battle and Israel wins, it's going to be said that a woman got all the glory. Are you willing? Are you able to live with that? I think she was trying to talk him out of it. I think she was trying to tell him, you go fight this thing. I'm a girl. I sit under the tree of Deborah, it was called, and I judge Israel. She goes to battle, whips those guys. That's an amazing kind of girl. She's serving all capacities, this one. Number 10, we end with this. A woman holds a unique design to nurture. This is awesome. Nurture. A woman nurtures. Nurtures friendships, nurtures family, nurtures people around them. School teachers, if that's a Christian woman, she's going to be a nurturer. She's one in the home. And I'm going to freak you out right now. This is an awesome verse. Very, very rarely ever mentioned. It's Revelation. You ought to mark it down. Revelation chapter 1 verse 12 says, then John turned to see the voice that spoke with me. And having turned, I saw 7 golden lampstands. And in the midst of the 7 lampstands, one stood as the Son of Man. He's talking about Christ. Clothed with a garment down to his feet, girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were like wool, white wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass. And as refined in the furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand 7 stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and with his countenance it was like the sun shining in its full strength. And did you hear the word? Across his chest, there's that golden band. You see, so what's the big deal? Incredibly unique in Scripture. It's a description of Jesus. And here he is. Don't you think that's a pretty terrifying picture? He's standing there and across his chest. And instead of the Holy Spirit using the normal word for a man's chest, the Holy Spirit uses the word for a woman's breast. And you say, "What? That freaked me out. You're freaking me out." No, 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 listen. Across his chest is a golden band. The word implies that across his chest not being a female chest, but the chest, the word used, means a place of nurturing. I'll read it to you exactly. A place of peace, rest, comfort is the root word regarding the female breast, a place of nurturing. Here's the Lord Jesus Christ, and his very heart is to nurture. Isn't that awesome? And when I look and think of the attributes of what God has engineered into the Christian woman, there are so many attributes of Christ that we as men, and it ought to be this way, look at a Christian woman and say, you know what? I need to be more like that. I need to be more like that. I'm going to ask all the ladies to stand right now, if you would. And we want to pray for you. But just stand right now, if you would, as we end. Men, remain seated. Let's pray for them. Father, we thank you for these women who are standing here right now. And I'm asking, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, that for these who are here, that your Holy Spirit would come upon them and galvanize them into this world with incredible faith. Encourage them, Lord, the way only you can. Answer their fears. Fill the void of brokenness. Remove any desire or any pursuit to be accepted by anyone else on this planet but you and you only. And Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that if there's any woman standing here tonight that does not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior personally, that has missed even her own value through Christ, her Creator, that right now, right where she's at, she would say, "Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Make me your daughter. Take me off the path of hell and on the road to heaven. Let me know you, O Lord our God." And may all of you standing tonight be completely and absolutely overwhelmed with what your God is about to do from this moment on in your life. In Jesus' name, and all of us said, Amen. Amen.